As you know, if you've been coming here regularly, we've been talking about spiritual maturity over the last few weeks. And we're finishing our series today on spiritual maturity. If you're able, can you please all stand up? If you're able. If you're not able, please stay seated. Arms out. And twist. And twist. And twist. And twist. Arms up. And squat. And up. And squat. You can sit down now. Do you feel better? Today we're going to be talking about exercise. Exercise is great. There's a man at the back that totally agrees with that. Far more than I do. Exercise to grow stronger in spiritual maturity. What does those words make you feel? Physical workout. For some, it's a shiver down the spine, isn't it? But for some, it's brilliant. It's joy. For me, not so much joy. Years ago, when I was 17, I was thinking about this. I used to love it. I used to run to the gym about a mile away. I used to do it in 6 minutes. I used to 50 sit-ups like that. To start, this was just a warm-up. 2 hours exercising. I was going into competitions. I came fourth in one competition. You'd never believe so now, would you? The problem with exercise is when you stop, you start to go back to the way you were. You've got to keep exercising to keep fit. I love this picture. What a brilliant picture. For those of you at the back that can't see it, it's a gym with a set of stairs in the middle and two escalators either side. Where are the two people that are going to the gym going up? The escalators. It's far easier, isn't it? You just stand on it and it does it for you. And then they're going to go in, get sweaty and come down the escalators as well because it's far easier. Exercise. Do you like it or do you loathe it? Your body needs regular exercise, and so does your spiritual life. Your spiritual life needs exercise. When you look at the Bible, how do you feel? When you see Jesus and you think, wow, 5,000 people he fed with nothing more than a snack. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. I mean, fair enough, he was God. But then he said, go and do likewise. Oh, my word. How does that make you feel spiritually? Does it make you feel a bit like this? It does me. I can't do that. It's far too much. We need to exercise spiritually. You become a brand new Christian, you can't lift that weight. But the more you practice, the more you pray, the more you read the word, the more you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that bar gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and you get bigger and bigger and bigger. We need to exercise to be Christians. And you're probably thinking, that doesn't say that in the Bible. Ah, it does. 1 Timothy 4:6-8 says this. Be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished by the truth of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Now, there's nothing like a good old wives' tale, is there? Have nothing to do with them. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. Physical training has some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. If we physically train our spiritual selves, it's great for now. It's great for what we can do in this life. But it's also great training for when we go and meet our Lord in glory. Goes on to say in Luke chapter 10:1-4. Now you would have known this passage, quite a famous passage. After this, it starts. But after what? You've got to put it into context. After this, Jesus has just sent out his 12 disciples into all the towns saying, go and heal the sick, raise the dead, do everything I've been doing for the last 6 months and you've been watching me. Now you go and do it. Ooh. Terrifying. He's fed the 5,000. He's predicted his death. There's been this amazing transfiguration. He's healed a demon-possessed boy. And then all the followers that were around him, because of all these amazing things, he told them what it really meant to be a disciple, to leave everything of this world to follow him. And then he says, after this, I was surprised there was anyone left. The towns and places where he was going to go. He's doing the same thing to 74 people that have been following him. Not the disciples, these are different people. And saying, do the same thing, heal the sick, raise the dead. And then he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, pray to God, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you like lambs amongst wolves. God knows how, Jesus knows how to tell people how to do something in a way that they're really going to want to do it, aren't they? I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do you really, are you enthused about doing it? You're going to get eaten. Goes on to say, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. Don't go with anything you might need. Really great advice, useful. Really, don't go with anything you may need and don't greet anyone on the road. There is a real urgency about going and telling people about the wonderful news of Jesus, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing what Jesus did. And in verse 17, 13 verses later, this is what happened. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. These people were going there and thinking, it's never going to work. It's never going to happen for me. It might happen for Jesus. And they were coming back saying, it worked! It happened! Even the demons submit in the name of Jesus Christ. We are told to exercise. We are told to be spiritual people that absolutely do what Jesus says, no matter how daft it sounds. No matter how silly, don't take anything you may need. Are you really? But it works. So we need to exercise our faith. What does that mean? Read. Read the Bible. We're constantly being told to read the Bible. Well, I'm going to tell you something now. Don't read the Bible. If you're not going to do what it says. The Pharisees were amazing people. They were great. They knew the Bible inside out. They could quote scriptures. They used to carry a little bag in front of them that had the scriptures in so that they could just take them out. Most of them didn't need it because they could recite huge chunks of the Bible. They read what they had. The scriptures. They read what they had as their Bible. And they knew it so well, but they didn't do it. They didn't do what it said. They thought reading was just enough. Read and do. James says this, do not merely listen to the word and then deceive yourself. Do what it says. What does it say? Heal the sick, raise the dead. Cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. What are you still doing here? Go on. Terrifying. Read and do. The more we read, the more we will know, and the more we will be able to do. We're not asked to do it all at the same time. Spiritual exercise. Pray and listen. How many people pray here? I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up for the next question. How many people just pray, Lord, can you do this? And then once you've done that, can you do this? And also, can I pray for so-and-so because he needs a bit of healing? Can you do my shopping list for me, please? Thank you very much. Amen. Do you do that? It's easy. You fall into it really easily and you think, oh dear, I've just spent 5 minutes and I've said nothing else apart from can you? Be quiet in prayer. Really be quiet. I've tried. I'm struggling. I still struggle. But I have been 50% silent, 50% prayer. And most of the talky prayer is about praising God rather than asking. But be silent in prayer. It's so hard. 10 seconds most people can last. And then they're wandering off. Have I put the cat out? Have I ordered enough milk for tomorrow? 10 seconds. But the more you do it, the more you will hear from God. You will hear from God. Call to me and I will think about asking you maybe later on if I've got time. No. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you the great and unsearchable things you do not know. There are people here I know that have had prophetic words. Words that they could not possibly have known about. How do you get them? God. The God who created the stars and the sky and the earth speaks to us. If we listen. We need to listen. Ask. That's the easy bit. We all ask. Oh, I love asking. Please, can I? And expect. This is the bit I struggle with. We've had an amazing time of testimony that really touched me, and I mean that, because this is the bit I struggle with. And when you hear testimonies that just keep going on and on and on, and one more, oh, another one more, and it's wonderful, because God answers. We ask God, and he answers. When we ask, expect that God will do. It might not be exactly the way we want to. We want it. It may not be. I've been asking for a Ferrari for ages. But if I had one, I'd probably kill myself. So God knows what's best. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the winds. That is me. I may stand up here and look super spiritual. Do I? Do I look super spiritual? But I'm not. Thanks, Jill. You didn't need to laugh quite as hard as that. But I'm not. I struggle when I ask, do I really expect? Receive and use. I've used this analogy so many times because I've had so many people come up and say the same thing. If you're in a prayer meeting, or if when Mick or I come round and say, has anyone got anything to pray for? You get something in your head. Oh, I'd love to pray for so-and-so. I need to pray for, oh, but I'm not going to. I'm not a good prayer. God don't listen to my prayers. They're not very good. And then 2 minutes later, someone over the other side of the church says exactly what you were going to say. That must have happened to people. When you receive, don't question it. Don't try to work it out in your head how you're going to say it, how you're going to start it. Is it going to be a good prayer? Say it. When you receive, use it. Because God will give you more. Matthew 25 is a really familiar passage. It's a passage that we probably all know, and we probably, some of us, have all got wrong. The 10 talents. Quite often we think of a talent as a gift or something that we're really good at. So if I've got 10 talents, I'm better than you that's only got 2 talents. But it's not about our gifts. A talent was a measure of weight of silver. And it was worth about £1 million. So it was a gift from the king. Here is £1 million. Go and do something with it. For the one that was given 5, he received 5 more. Well, for the one that was given 2, he received two more. For the one who received one, he did nothing with it. He dug a hole, buried it, and gave him back what he was rightfully his. But to the ones that did something with it, the king said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. £5 million, that's not a little, that's quite a lot. But then he goes on to say, I will set you over much. The more we use what God has given us, and he has given us all something. The more we use what God has given us, the more he will give us to use. I heard this great analogy that we need to be rivers, not pools, where the blessings that come in should go straight out to the people around us. Instead of the blessings that come in, stay in and just stagnate and just do nothing. Just bless us. We should be using, receiving and using for the benefit of others. Well done, good and faithful servant. The next thing is to serve and share. Service is all around the Bible. You look at the Bible and everything is about servanthood. Can you imagine you're just settling down for your evening meal and there's a knock at the door and there she is, good old Queenie. The Queen comes in with her entourage, comes in and says, do you mind if I have a dinner with you? But first, let me wash your feet. Would you do it? Would you take off your shoes and socks and let the Queen wash your feet? Barack Obama, well, no, I'd probably let him actually. But God, in the form of Jesus, would you let Jesus wash your feet? Jesus said, if you don't let me serve you, you have no part of me. Go and do the same. Serve and share. He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured out water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus knew what it meant to serve, and he didn't do that to show how wonderful he was. He did that as an example for us all. Serve and share. And finally, teach and nurture others. We're not called to be wonderful Christians that we just build ourselves up and get better and better and better and super spiritual Christians. We're asked to share and teach others about Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're called to exercise our faith in these ways. How are your spiritual muscles? Do they need a bit more exercise? This is what it means to grow as mature Christians. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word, the Bible, is our Haynes manual. It's a manual for Christians. It's our lifeblood. It should be something that we have always with us because we live by it, that we would seek to be that example that you was to us. Help us to read and do what it says, to pray and to listen to what you have for us, to ask and expect. And when we ask, we receive and use what you have for us. And in that we will serve and share with others around us, that we might teach and nurture people into the amazing truth that you are the Lord God Almighty and there is none like you. Amen.